a show highlighting the diverse landscape of businesses in the Niagara region. Niagara Made with Ruth Unruh, News Talk 610 CKTV.
Thanks for joining us today on Niagara Made here on 610 CKTV. I'm your host, Ruth Unruh, and today I'm going to be talking to Aaron Grable, Executive Director at Big Brothers Big Sisters of Niagara. Welcome, Aaron.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Thank you very much for joining me today. Aaron, can you tell us about Big Brothers Big Sisters of Niagara and the history of the organization?
Absolutely. So our mission is to ignite the power and potential of young people. So we do that through life-changing mentorship. We have been around in Niagara for over 85 years, and our mentorship model has continued through our history in Niagara. Our programs and services look a little bit different, but mentorship has always been the core of what we do.
And what is your role in the organization?
So I'm the executive director. So I support a small staff team that supports a large volunteer and participant group.
Can you tell us, is Big Brothers Big Sisters of Niagara is part of a larger organization? What brought it to Niagara? What was, or even bigger than that, what was the motivation behind it? Why did it all start?
So it's interesting because two of the founding agencies were actually in Niagara. So St. Catharines and Niagara Falls are two of the oldest agencies, or the kind of initial group of oldest agencies in Canada. And in Niagara, there was five agencies at one point, and now we're amalgamating to become one Niagara-wide agency. We are definitely part of, as you mentioned, a federated model. So there is Big Brothers, Big Sisters of Canada, and now agencies all across Canada and other places globally as well. And it started originally in Niagara as Big Brothers. So it was, you know, identified that young people, mostly with single parents, it was a lot of, it was the 30s. So a lot of fatherless boys were involved in Big Brothers and they needed a mentor. And over time, it's evolved. And now we serve any young person, any gender, ages 6 to 18, who could benefit from a caring adult role model.
And okay, so we're going back to the 1930s, and that's mm-hmm. when it started. I had no idea that St. Catharines and Niagara were part of the original. What was happening? So it was after between world wars, right? It was after mm-hmm. the First World War, before the Second World War, and it started as Big Brothers. So was there a need because there were so many, you know, fathers that didn't make it through the war, mm-hmm. and then these boys were left without a parent or without a father, and is that where it all sort of stemmed from?
Yes. So it would have been both a combination of fathers kind of off at war or didn't return from war, would have been not necessarily everyone, but definitely the majority of the families that the agency would have been supporting at that time. It did start, you're right, right between the wars. So, there would have been kind of ebbs and flows of obviously males, especially going off to war, and the agency was supporting the wives and the children left behind.
Was it brought to the attention of, or was it, you know, some community-minded people that saw a need and just said, you know what, we should do this. We should start this program where we can pair young boys without fathers up with somebody else and give them that. Is that kind of very grassroots, that's how it started, and then became organized?
Yeah, that's what I would suspect. I wasn't around at the
right.
beginning.
I know,
but
I know.
from what I've read and what I've found, and then, over time, the agency continued to evolve. And as we get to our records, in the 60s and 70s, it's more young people who were involved with the courts or in trouble with the police in some ways and needed that, you know, caring adult role model. So we definitely see kind of an evolution of how young people have got to us or the young people we support and what they're going through. And then obviously Big Sisters became part of it as well. And it eventually became Big Brothers, Big Sisters together.
And it's, I guess, naturally evolved in terms of what the need in the community is and that sort of thing. Now, obviously, mentorship and that Big Brother, Big Sister role is hugely important. And we're going to talk a lot about that later when we talk about your volunteers. Are there other programs and services that are offered through Big Brothers, Big Sisters of Niagara?
So we have 5 core programs. Mentorship is a component of all of them, but it looks different in the different programs. We deliver it in different ways. So community-based mentorship, I think, is what people are most familiar with, where a volunteer and a young person will be matched and they do their own activities out in the community. So they go, you know, shoot hoops at a local school or go to a baseball game or go ride bikes, whatever they're interested in. We also offer one-to-one mentorship through the schools. So the Ministry of Education in Canada has recognized that mentorship is a benefit to the school day and young people who are struggling either academically or socially or emotionally. So we have the ability to go into schools. Our mentors go into schools during the school day for an hour a week and meet with a young person right at their school. And the school will help identify the space they can use. Sometimes they're in the library or a classroom, and we provide them with an activity bin, and they connect and build that relationship for an hour a week. Also in schools, we have 2 group programs. So we have Go Girls for female identifying youth, and we have Game On for male identifying youth. And those are 7 to 10 week programs where we have 2 volunteers work with a small group of young people. And then last but not least, we have our student parent mentoring program. So that's for students who are parents and could use a caring adult for themselves and their own development.
When you talk about the groups that you do in the schools, Go Girl and Game On, is that,
yes.
Do I have that?
Yeah.
What are the sorts of things that are happening in those groups?
So we do have a set curriculum that the volunteers will follow. So it's about social connections, it's about relationship, but there's also a lot on, you know, healthy lifestyle, healthy self-esteem, confidence, what are, you know, positive influences in your life, what are not positive influences in your life, as well as some, you know, just physical activity as well and some recreational elements to it. So the 2 programs look a little bit different because one is catered more to female identifying young people and one more to male identifying. But at the core of it, we're trying to help influence that positive self-esteem, that confidence, that sense of self-worth that young people need to have to be able to just make healthy choices and thrive.
And what is, do you have, I don't know, for lack of a better term, criteria in order to, for some of these, for your clients, the youth, to get into your programs, to either be mentored one-on-one or any of these groups in the school? You mentioned that the school would help identify who, like, what are you looking for? Or what are they looking for?
Yeah, I think that's one of the greatest misconceptions about our agency is that we have a very narrow criteria when we don't. There's lots and lots of different reasons that a young person can benefit from a mentor. And we have lots of young people referred for many different reasons. We have, socioeconomic can be definitely part of that. We have single parent homes, we have different situations that children have faced that, you know, they're overcoming, and We have one school who had a number of parent deaths in that school, and those young people needed, you know, extra support and extra caring adults. So there's lots of reasons that young people are referred to our programs, and we don't have, you know, a set criteria. They have to be, you know, facing this, or they have to have experienced this. There's lots of reasons that anyone can use a caring mentor in their life. So it's just, for us, it's more about finding the right fit in terms of a mentor for them, and just getting them referred to us. So we have schools that refer, we have other community agencies that refer, we have families that call and refer. So people can get referred to us. It's an open process, however they can and however they wish. And then we work, you know, we meet that family, we meet that young person, and work to figure out, you know, what are their needs and how we can best support them.
What would a typical, if you just look at the one-on-one mentorship program, so if I'm a big sister, how long is there, like a typical length of time that relationship would last? And in terms of the formal part of it, right? I imagine that a lot of those relationships continue beyond. I'm interested in that. I'm also interested in how you evaluate whether it's a good fit and what happens if it isn't a good fit.
Mm-hmm.
And what are the things that, like, what are the red flags that will tell you? Because you must have to watch these pretty closely, right?
We continue to monitor the relationship the whole time they're involved with our programs. Yes, for sure. To make sure it's safe and healthy for everyone involved. So going back to your
it was the average
first
length
question.
Yeah. I know. I threw two sort of not related questions in there, but I didn't want to forget.
Yeah, no, that's totally fair. So initially we ask for commitment of either a school year or a year, depending on if they're doing our community-based or in-school mentoring program. So that's our initial goal, is over the course of a year to build that relationship and hopefully have a positive influence. What we naturally see is those relationships continue beyond that year. And we see some that, you know, are in the 8 and 9 years that they've been matched, and they become part of, you know, their family and friend circle in many cases. So it doesn't feel like volunteering anymore. It feels like hanging out with a friend. So you don't really put a timeline in a lot of cases on that once they've made that connection and, you know, identify that they enjoy spending time together. So what the goal is that we will continue to support and monitor that mentoring relationship up until the little is 18. And then at 18, the goal is they graduate out of our programs and they have a solid foundation to continue that relationship. They don't need us anymore because they've, you know, become friends and they enjoy doing activities together, and that continues. And we hear constantly stories of, you know, bigs going to littles' weddings and graduations and just continuing to be a part of their lives, which is ultimately the goal. So although we say, you know, a school year or a year to start off, that's really to just start forming that relationship. And so many times it goes beyond that, which is amazing.
But there then would be, I guess, for lack of a better term, an automatic out if somebody felt that it wasn't really what they expected, or it wasn't working the way they thought it was going to be working,
yes.
Whether that be from the little or from the big.
Mm-hmm.
After a year, it would be okay to, but obviously continue on if they want. And now, does that continue to be monitored by you then to ensure?
Yes. Yeah, so as long as they continue in the match, then our caseworkers would continue to support them.
And when you do the matching, is it related to, I imagine maybe you take a lot of this into consideration, but is it related to the type of activity somebody might want to be doing, or the the problem or the issue or the challenge that the little might be facing that somebody has some expertise in? Or would it be an age or a time availability, or what are the things that you look at in order to appropriately match?
I think it's all of the things that you mentioned, because they all play a role. Obviously, kind of schedules and logistics, where they're located in Niagara, plays a role. What kind of age group the volunteer thinks they would be best suited to work with. What, interests are definitely a big one. We want to find some common interests right off the bat. So whether it's baseball or video games or books, whatever it is, so that, we're giving that big and little kind of a starting point for their relationship. And they'll definitely build upon that. But our goal is not to have, matches formed and then not be successful. So we want to put as much, and we do put as much as we can into the matching process, the training process, the screening process, and just preparing everyone, for what it's going to look like and what's involved, so that they're able to go into that relationship really understanding, what it hopefully will look like. And then we continue to support them along the way.
Mentoring relationships can be a little bit tricky in terms of what the roles and responsibilities are, and where you can't, you don't cross that line, sort of thing. And when I think about what you're doing and the important work that Big Brothers Big Sisters of Niagara does in our community, I think too about, the rising concern regarding mental health and the mental health of our children. And obviously you're not a mental health agency, and that's not part of what you do. However, I'm sure that there are many times when mental health becomes an issue in the relationship, or it's identified perhaps by the mentor that there might be a problem. What do you do about that? How do you handle that? Because I think as a mentor, it would be very easy to become more than a sounding board for, now you're trying to offer advice and guidance, but you're not a trained mental health professional. So how do you navigate that?
So I think it's a few things, and we're definitely seeing more mental health needs or mental health concerns coming out of the pandemic with our young people. So what we're hearing is, sometimes they just need someone to talk to that, doesn't have an agenda, doesn't have judgment, is just there for them. And in some of our cases, that's enough to have a positive influence. That's enough. We hear stories about, my young person only wants to go to school on the days their mentor's coming, or only want to get out of bed on the days they're seeing their mentor, because it's someone they're excited to spend time with. And obviously every situation's unique, every child's unique. And, our caseworkers are there to support the volunteers. So we're constantly getting questions from volunteers about, okay, here's what's come up. How can I best support this family and this child? And our caseworkers are there to help do that. And in a lot of cases, it is referrals to, a professional agency that also provides that clinical services, but then having them obviously maintain their match and maintain that positive relationship. We recently opened up at the Penn Center with Pathstone. So we're there 2 days a week, and Pathstone is providing their drop-in counseling, and we are providing information on how to enroll a young person as well as how to sign up as a volunteer. And we both it's a great synergy, because both agencies are approaching it from a proactive perspective. Obviously, our volunteers are not clinicians at Big Brothers Big Sisters, but they're there to have a positive influence and positive impact. And if that's a great early intervention strategy, and then same Pathstone is trying to give young people some strategies that they can do without needing regular counseling. So they pair together very nicely. And we see that, the cross referrals happening there, but also to other community supports and services that are out there.
Yeah, that to me, that's a great partnership, the Pathstone and Big Brothers Big Sisters, because you know you're basically you're serving a very similar demographic, and it's a great tie-in, and to be at the Penn Center where kids are, right, mm-hmm. is even better, and parents as well, right, and they can come in and get information about it. I've got like lots of questions, but I want to ask you a little bit about your funding. Do you have government funding, or is it completely donor driven?
So we have a minimal amount of government funding that we access. So it is just over 10% of what we need to raise annually. So we rely on donations, on grants, on foundations, on special events. All of our programs are no cost. There's never a cost to participate in Big Brothers Big Sisters, and that's thanks to support from the community and local businesses.
And so if anybody out there is listening and wants to donate to a worthy cause, they can check the website of Big Brothers Big Sisters of Niagara, which is BBBS, niagara.ca?
BBBS in Niagara.
In Niagara.
Yes, .ca.
.ca. Okay, let's talk about volunteers. It's mm-hmm. It's Volunteer Appreciation Month, April of 2023, and there's a week in there, but you know, really it's volunteer appreciation all the time. Do you have a waiting list for littles to get paired with Big Brothers or Big Sisters?
Yes. So we do have a waiting list. What we saw during the pandemic, unfortunately, is, you know, historically we've had kind of this natural volunteer turnover that happened. You know, we would lose some, but gain some and be able to continue to facilitate matches. Unfortunately, over the past few years, that those incoming volunteers, while we were at, you know, stay at home in different states of the pandemic, those weren't coming in. So now what we're seeing is an increase in referrals for young people to participate. And we're starting to get traction. We're starting to get more volunteers applying, showing interest, but we just need to continue that momentum because we're catching up from a few years. So right now we have a few hundred children on our wait list that are waiting to be matched with a mentor.
A few hundred. Mm-hmm. Wow. Tell me about the volunteer process then. I mean, I know you have, you look at volunteers, whether they want to be a mentor or not a mentor, but let's just talk about the mentorship mm-hmm. component of it for now. What is the criteria? What is the training involved? You know, at what point are you ready? You must have some specific ground rules in place that, you know, how to manage that relationship. So tell us a little bit about that.
Absolutely. So the first step is visiting our website to apply. And then we have a screening process that we go through with volunteers, which includes an interview and some references, and we do require a police clearance check as well. So we do our due diligence to make sure that, you know, we're vetting potential mentors adequately so that, you know, it's an ideal relationship, it's a safe relationship for that young person. So once they move on through kind of the initial screening process, they move into the training process. And that's where we equip them with the tools they will need to be a positive mentor. One of the unique things about Big Brothers and Big Sisters is we train the volunteer, but we also train the young person. We also train the family. So everyone involved in the match and relationship gets training around, you know, what it should look like, how to have, what are safe relationships, what, you know, what are safe interactions and what aren't, and what to do, you know, if they're finding themselves in a situation that doesn't feel as safe. And even we hear from parents that, you know, they learn new things or different things that they hadn't necessarily thought of before. through our training. So it's a great opportunity to make sure, you know, everyone's on the same page, everyone's equipped with the information that they need going into that match process. And we, as I mentioned, we match, you know, based on kind of a number of factors. And we start with, you know, a meeting between the family and the mentor and make sure there's, you know, a positive connection and everyone feels comfortable. And then, you know, we continue on with the match from there.
What is the, I love that everybody's involved in the training, the mentor, the mentee, and the family. I think that's fantastic. And I think it, like you said, it gets everybody on the same page when it comes to what this relationship is meant to look like and meant to do. How many hours a week would a big brother or big sister be contributing?
So the smallest amount is an hour a week. So our in-school programs, it's a 1 hour a week commitment, which for a lot of people, that's kind of most manageable initially. Our community-based matches are often meeting for 2 or 3 hours a week. Again, they're doing it around their schedule, so there's a bit more flexibility in that program of, you know, I'm not available Monday, but this week I can see you on Thursday. So we tend to have volunteers, you know, select what program would be best for them based on their schedule and availability and interest.
And I guess it's fair to say that you wouldn't have a program if it wasn't for your volunteers.
100% safe to say. Absolutely. We rely on volunteers. We wouldn't exist without them.
And what are the other options available for somebody who might not be interested in being a mentor through your organization if they wanted to volunteer sometime?
Yeah, we have volunteers who support us with our events or our fundraising efforts. And we also have a nearly new thrift store in Niagara Falls that supports Big Brothers, Big Sisters, and is run totally by volunteers. So there's lots of different opportunities to get involved.
And where is that? You said
on
Niagara Falls.
On Queen Street.
On Queen Street in Niagara Falls.
Yes, right across from City Hall.
And it's called?
The Nearly New Thrift Store.
The Nearly New Thrift Store. Well, that's good to know, too. When you look to the future, what do you see, Erin, for Big Brothers, Big Sisters?
So what we're doing right now, it's a great question. Through the amalgamation process is really, you know, creating a strong base, creating, you know, strong programs, strong services, strong, you know, supports and procedures and processes that will really position us well to, one, be here for another 85 years, but also to grow and to respond to our community's needs. So I see us as, you know, continuing to support children and youth in different ways to make sure that they, you know, we're igniting their power and potential.
Awesome. What a great place to end this off. And I wish you all the very best with the organization and to everybody involved in the organization. Thank you so much, Erin, for being my guest today on Niagara Made. I'm Ruth Unruh, and I've been talking to Erin Grable from Big Brothers Big Sisters of Niagara. Have a great day, and thanks for listening to Niagara Made right here on 610 CKTV.
This has been Niagara Made, a show highlighting businesses in the Niagara area. For more information and past shows, visit our website, 610cktv.com.